Good afternoon. I'm Christy White. I'm a land use attorney, Radler White, Parks and Alexander, 111 Southwest Columbia, Suite 1100, representing the applicant. And with me is
Catherine Schultz with GBD Architects, project architect on the project.
And we're going to just go back and forth through a PowerPoint presentation and explain the modification to you. But before we do that, I wanted to start with just a couple of thoughts before we jump into that presentation. First, and I think some people mentioned it here, there was a significant public vetting process for this application. And it started with a design advice request, which is the early design advice request of the Design Commission, to understand whether or not they would be disposed to entertaining this modification. And in fact, we asked specifically during that early advice request about this lane modification, got their feedback that it was approvable with certain elements that we incorporated, and we incorporated those early on and then moved that design through all of the Design Commission hearings that you're hearing about. We had 5 official neighborhood meetings. We had additional meetings with stakeholders and property owners. We had that DAR and then 3 Design Commission hearings. And yes, the debate was very full, and it was lane was a matter of specific interest during those proceedings, and the Design Commission ended up approving this lane projection. That's the public process. Also, the larger context. So you've heard this, but I want to emphasize it, that this project is on a block that would permit a 250-foot tall tower relative to a 60-foot wide accessway. But of course, we're not asking for a 250-foot tower, and I know that's unusual in the South Waterfront because, of course, there's a lot of towers. But in fact, the highest point of this building is 72 feet. And why that's important is because the difference between 72 feet and 250 feet is now light, air, space, and visual open space for people to see over this building, which is, of course, an important asset to neighboring property owners. With that context, I would add one more point. Modifications are not violations of the code. Modifications are permitted under the code, and they're permitted for a really good reason, which is we can't anticipate and dictate every good design. And so there's a modification process to allow you to put forward a creative response to a particular block based on its context. And when you put forward that modification, it's judged during the Design Commission proceeding. And it's judged based on 2 criteria, and those have been transposed here. So what I'd like to say also as a beginning is the actual standard is not equally or better meet. That's why we're having a problem trying to figure out how to equally or better meet a numerical standard. How do you equally or better meet 30 feet or 60 feet? It's not that. It's that we have to be consistent on balance, consistent with the purpose of the standard. So that's the standard that was applied at the Design Commission, and that under that standard, the Design Commission approved this project. So with that introduction, I'd like to get straight into the...
Just,
yes, please.
Just so we can follow what you're saying. And I'm just referring to Mr. Nunn's letter in the record. Mm-hmm. He cites to 33.825.040.
That's right.
And then he has the text, and then he puts A, better meets design guidelines,
yes,
semicolon, and B, purpose of the standard.
That's it.
So because there is an and between A,
yes,
and B, don't we have to read them together?
You do. So what's interesting, though, is you better meet the design guideline. The design guideline is a highly discretionary design guideline that has really a vision for development behind it. The second one, B, is actually what's been referred to in the testimony, and that's the actual purpose of the accessway standard. And you heard Mr. Gardner articulate it very well, the various purpose statements of the accessway. When you refer to those purpose statements of the code standard, it is not equally or better meet. And the purpose is that for the 30 feet, instead, is on balance, the proposal will be consistent with those various purposes in that purpose statement.
Okay, so when you're finished with your testimony and mm-hmm. questions, I'm going to ask you to come back and walk us through that again.
Sure.
Because we have to be very clear as a
yes.
body what the standard
yes.
we apply is and then apply the evidence.
That's
and
right.
We have a chance to ask staff. But
that's right.
You get your fair shot, like the applicant,
sure.
to give us your best reading of the statute, because that ultimately is what guides what we have to do here.
Sure.
And Commissioner Frisch, I like you are looking at Mr. Nunn's statement on page 2. And as the mayor pointed out earlier, it's that the resulting development will better meet the applicable design guidelines. That's the part that has to be better, and that's what the applicant is saying that the design commission
That's exactly right.
And while we're pausing here, I think it says the applicable guidelines.
Yes.
So I think that means, I'm going to want to get staff to confirm this, but you can tell us your opinion, and Mr. Gardner can tell us his, but I think that means the design standards for the district, because we've got some,
right,
and
that's
the design standard for buildings,
that's right,
which the design commission applies to cases.
That's right.
So it's both, right?
Right.
It's what the district's supposed to be and how we're supposed to design buildings anywhere, but also in the context of that district.
Right. So that's exactly
there's a lot of subjectivity here.
Can I add one more point? Is that there's not a design guideline that specifically relates back to the setback of
that's
the accessway.
Right. So that's exactly right, too. It is conjunctive. There is an and there. And there are different standards under A, the resulting development better meets the guideline. So when you're contesting a guideline, the standard is better meet. If you're contesting the standard, the code standard, it's B, on balance, will be consistent with that standard. And what's being contested here is the code standard.
And by the way, just for the record, I earlier asked Mr. Gardner the question if he had a lawyer here, because I look out in this audience and I see half a dozen distinguished lawyers. So to the extent I was asking him how this had been applied, I wanted to make sure he didn't view it as a trick question if he had a lawyer that might actually recall the myriad ways it's been applied. But since I see so many distinguished members of the bar sprinkled throughout this gathering, I didn't want to assume that he didn't have a counsel. So I hope he did not take offense at my question.
Okay, let's proceed.
So let us start going through the slides. And what you're going to see in the first slide, of course, is the overall proposal. And we shared this slide with you because it offers two perspectives. It shows you the lane improvements that you can see in the pavers in the street, but it also shows you the area of the building where we are projecting 26.5. So if you'll click back, the area of the building where we're projecting is those red and white panels, and you can see how they're juxtaposed against the portion of the building that actually does meet the 30-foot setback, which you see in the charcoal or darker color. That's the extent of the intrusion into lane, and you will see that it only occurs on the upper floors, not actually in the pedestrian realm along lane.
But Christy, can I just push you on that point for a
second?
Yeah,
please.
And you'll recover your time. The map that we've been given from Bureau of Development Services shows a bit of a dog leg at River on lane, so that technically, as I look at this map, if I'm standing on Bond, looking down lane, it is unlikely that I can see down. I can see to the river, because according to this map, there's a little bit of a dog leg at River Parkway, and then there's the intrusion. So, is that true, and is that relevant?
So we're about to show you some slides of that that visual from streets that are further west.
Yeah.
One thing that's important also to realize here is this accessway standard that we're asking for a modification from applies only east of River Parkway. So it only applies to this block.
And why is that?
And why is that? Because you go back to the purpose statement. The purpose of the accessways was to extend the green finger of the greenway up into the district and create a greenway urban transition into the district. It was not to create a view corridor. There are special regulations for view corridors rather than just a visual connection. It's different. Those view corridors, for example, on Gaines, you read that purpose statement and it talks all about views from the west, from the hills, all the way through the district to the greenway and the river. It does not state that in this purpose statement. Instead, it is littered with comments like pedestrian connection, stormwater facility, access to the greenway, visual access to the greenway. These are all at the pedestrian level, and that is further proven by the fact that it's just one block. It's not a corridor that extends through the district and intends to preserve views from the hills east or west through the district. And you'll see visuals responding to your question about how you can see it. Okay, so we can go to the next slide. And the next slide, Kat will explain.
I'll talk to this quickly. The areas that we've highlighted in yellow are areas that are solid. So we've talked about, like Christy described, those kind of two big planes that have some projection, and it's the areas in yellow that are solid projections. And this was a point at Design Commission, so we went and added balconies to kind of help create transparency, depth, and variety within those planes.
And what you'll see here is those yellow solid areas are all restricted to the second through the sixth floor. So at the ground floor, we respect the 30-foot setback and even actually a greater setback. And all the improvements that are required, we either meet or exceed along that ground plane.
And so this shows kind of a number of the provisions that we did to meet the purpose statement. And the Design Commission, as commented, put a condition on to enhance the pedestrian furnishings. Again, part of that is this is a pedestrian accessway. We want to encourage people to walk down here, pause, and enjoy lane. We've enhanced the stormwater treatment facility. So we haven't just treated it. We've actually created a landscape feature to help bring and transition the greenway into Lane Street. We've created bridges. We're expressing the water. We've got a waterfall that comes out of the building. And we've quite lushly landscaped it. We have fully improved the accessway. So it's not just going to the center line of lane, which is where our property ends. We've completed the pavers all the way to the other side, which would be the face of curb of the property next door, to fully have the entire pedestrian accessway completed at the time this project is completed. We've actually connected the accessway to the greenway, which is on Park's property. We're paying for that. We're improving that, again, to provide access, greater access, and better meet that purpose statement. As Christy stated, the ground level of the building actually steps back an additional 2'6" from that center line. So at the ground level, up to the second story, that continues all the way up. We have an even greater setback than the 30 feet. And then we also did an enhancement of additional pavers. So this is a ground level view zooming in of the building, and we purposely took it where part of the building overhangs. And this is really the reason we're here today, is we feel that by providing a little bit of a projection, we actually create an environment that encourages residents to come out and live on their stoops. So when you have shelter, people want to hang out in shelter. They don't want to hang out against the wall of a building. They want to be able to feel enclosed, feel safe, and enjoy and kind of take over space and feel like it's inhabitable and a place they want to be. And this encourages people to hang out there and encourage them to enjoy and see their neighbors walk by versus just feeling like a sidewalk in a public realm. And so that's the whole purpose of why we're doing this.
So that white pavement that you're showing there in the rendering, is that patio space for those units?
Correct. Those are stoops for the residences.
Okay.
But those are not in the right-of-way.
Well, it's none of it's the right-of-way. They are within the set. Part of them are within that setback, correct. It is
the building at the ground plane, at the ground floor, the building is
right
outside of the 60-foot
right. So there's
easement.
2'6" that is pushed back from the face of the building. Part of the stoops are within that setback, and part of the building above is within that setback.
But you're allowed under the code to do that. You're allowed to do stoops and patios and that kind of thing.
It's not specifically defined, but we'll speak more to that.
But there is a public easement over the entire 60-foot right-of-way, correct?
I'm not sure technically whether the easement's over the entire
right-of-way
or over the pedestrian accessway. And I believe it's just the pedestrian accessway, which is at the center, and it's, I believe, 12 feet on either part of that.
That's a question I'll want to know from staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be great. So in where we've kind of taken this cue from of how to resolve and create a much more pedestrian-friendly environment is the Ardea. The Ardea is one block west. This is exactly kind of a very similar condition that we're talking about for our project. Their building, again, this is not within that accessway. It's not required to have that 30 feet, but you can see it also projects what would be 4 feet into if they had a setback requirement. And they're doing a very similar thing where they're kind of creating shelter with their stoops, and it feels very activated.
Well, I just question for Christy, though. A concern was raised by the applicant about creating precedence. So just because we've done it somewhere else and now we're doing it again, are we now normalizing something that otherwise you have to meet some standard? What's your response to that?
Well, two responses. One, I think the assumption was that people did this without approval, and so we shouldn't be using those prior precedents to then justify something we're doing under the code standards. And the reference was to the Meriwether. The Meriwether, in fact, based on a review of that file, sought and obtained the same modification we're requesting within their access way, although their modification was greater, and we're going to show you a slide of that. It was greater than the intrusion we're asking for, and it was a 250-foot tower whose building wall came down entirely within that setback. So it's not dangerous from a precedential view because, in fact, everybody's using the process that's allowed under the code, which is a modification. And I presume that when the Meriwether went through on a design review application, it proved its point, and the design commission approved it. I wasn't involved in that case, but I'm assuming that since it's built, it's not built in violation, but it was built consistent with its approval. That's the same process that's occurring here. We're using the modification to prove that this design response meets the approval standards.
And I guess I would argue that any project to the south would have to go through the same process to prove that it better meets or it meets the purpose of the code. So they will have to go bring it in front of design commission and seek a modification. They aren't just going to be allowed by right to do it. So the next slide is a slide of Riva, which is now two blocks to the west of our project. And I just point this out. Those wood portions are projecting, by the way, into that kind of 30-foot area. But this is what we're kind of trying to avoid. It feels very much like a street wall. It's very sterile. And you can see it doesn't feel activated at all. It is not a great pedestrian environment. This is an example of Meriwether. So all the line work at the top, the image there, is the Meriwether. Our project is down below. So on the west end of the Meriwether, the actual building tower comes down and projects portions of that 5 feet into this required setback. It kind of does a little jog, and that's the orange-colored area. All of the yellow-colored area are stoops that are also within that setback, and they are projecting 5 feet into it. They have access to their stoops in kind of a similar manner that we're providing, and they also have a very green swale that we also took precedent on and followed. This is a street. It's a wonderful street. It feels very comfortable. It creates transition. There's still view to the greenway, you can see. I pointed out there where the kind of Meriwether building is actually coming all the way to the ground within that setback. Here's just a straight-on view of what that looks like with that building coming in, and you can still see the greenway. That's still maintained. And this is an image from, this is standing at a little bit past River Parkway, which is where the Ardea is, looking east, which is right across our property and which would be the access way. And actually, you can see the trees kind of block the view more than anything.
Property's on the right in this slide?
In this slide, the property would be on the left.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That really concludes all that I have to say.
So I'd just like to wrap it up by acknowledging that exactly what Mr. Gardner said, which is this building is not the same building we started with. We went through a very rigorous design review process. Many changes were made to this building because of the input. It is a better building because of that input, and the Design Commission reviewed this particular projection over a series of hearings, applied the correct approval criteria, and determined, based on the context of this building within the environment of the South Waterfront and its reduced height of 72 feet relative to 250 feet, that reduced height of 72 feet was a good proportional relationship to a 60-foot right-of-way with this minimal intrusion that was done for the right design reasons and the right design reasons only. And so we're asking that you reject this appeal and endorse the Design Commission's decision to approve the project.
So, Christy, it would be helpful for me if you took the two portions of the code, A and B.
Yes.
And just very succinctly said to us why it better meets the design guidelines and on balance why it's consistent with the standards.
So sure, I'll do that.
Your summation.
Here's the summation. Under A, the resulting development better meets the applicable design guidelines. Why? Because there is no applicable specific design guideline relative to the accessway. Instead, there's design guidelines relative to the pedestrian realm, the facades of the building, the all of the other elements of the building.
Okay.
And so on review, the Design Commission found that because there's no specific design guideline, because the elements of the building meet all of the other design guidelines.
Okay.
The purpose of the standard, this was the real issue, and it's been well articulated, as you said, by the neighborhood through all of these hearings. The review there is that on balance, the proposal will be consistent with the purpose of the standard. Okay, so what is the purpose of the standard? You have it in front of you in the testimony, and Mr. Gardner articulated it. What is an accessway? What is the purpose? It provides physical access and connections to the greenway for neighbors, visitors, and residents. Have we done that? Yes. We're preserving physical access, of course, at the ground floor with the full 60-foot right-of-way and even greater because we have further building setbacks at the ground floor. And we're improving the entire accessway past the center line to the other side of the street, which would normally be the other project's obligation, but we're doing it early with this project. What's the next one? The next one is that we are is a general extension of existing and planned east-west public rights-of-way and may or may not provide vehicle access. We, of course, are an extension of an east-west connection. Vehicle access can be provided here. It's mostly dedicated to the pedestrian realm. Do we provide safe and convenient bike and ped connection to and from the Greenway Trail? It's safe, it's lit, there's bicycle facilities, it's very well designed with high quality materials. Do we contribute to stormwater management in the sub-district? As you heard Kat explain, we don't just contribute, we exceed those standards for stormwater management. Do we provide a transition from the natural emphasis of the Greenway to the urban emphasis of the rest of the district? We certainly provide that transition. We do exactly what has been asked of us to pull that green finger from the Greenway up into the neighborhood for that one block. And do we provide a visual connection to the South Waterfront Greenway area? Yes, we do. The visual connection here is multifold, but again, it's only one block long. And of course, there's a very generous visual connection that's not impeded by a second story height for any pedestrian. And I would argue not impeded even for someone if this accessway extended to the west. It wouldn't be impeded because what you're seeing there is equivalent to what you would see from mature tree growth along that accessway.
That's helpful. Thank you. And just one other question. We have different standards baked into the code. This
yes.
one says the key language to me is on balance.
Yes.
The proposal will be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
In plain English, what does on balance mean?
What it's meant before in the city of Portland is that if you have a myriad of objectives you're trying to meet and you meet most of them or everyone but one, then you've met it. So I would draw an analogy between comprehensive plan and zoning map amendments where the standard is on balance, you equally or better meet, I think, the comprehensive plan policies. And so you've used it before, and what that means is you look at all your comprehensive plan policies, and if you meet a large portion of them and you've balanced them against each other, you're good to go. So if you use that same interpretation here, and when I've used it for modifications in the past, you put your thumb up in the air and you see, are you almost there? Are you more than 50% there? And in this case, we've hit all of the purpose statements and even exceeded some of the standards in those purpose statements. So I would submit that we're passed on balance.
Thank you.
Other questions? Did you get to cover everything? We interrupted you a couple of times.
I think so. The only other thing I would say is the Greenway wasn't appealed, but just as a point of reference, there is a 100-foot building setback from top of bank, and we exceed it in every location on the property. So we're really not pinching the Greenway.
Okay. Thank you. All right, thanks very much. We may have more questions later. Let's take any individuals that have signed up in support of the applicant.
We did not have anyone sign up.
Anyone here to speak on that? And then do we do rebuttal? Yes, we do rebuttal. Mr. Gardner, you have the chance to come back and respond to anything you've heard for 5 minutes.
There we go. Just waiting for the clock to get to five. Need an official timeout.
Right.
Well, the issues of what the code requires for a modification have certainly gotten a little bit cloudier. I think the on balance is the key part of the whole issue, really. Catherine Schultz, in fact, in one of the responses said, well, the part of the code that says that a modification must better meet design guidelines in many ways doesn't fit here because there are no design guidelines relative to access ways. And she's exactly right. The only thing the code says about access ways are standards, not guidelines. Specific, objective development standards. Those standards only apply east of River Parkway. So in the Riva building, which is west of River Parkway, is shown as an example of an intrusion into that Lane Street accessway, it really is irrelevant because the 60-foot wide public accessway was not required on that block. Now, it's been often mentioned that we're only really talking about one block that it does apply to, and that's that block of Lane Street east of River Parkway. It's a bit misleading to talk about it as a block. You know, when you talk about a block in Portland, you think 200 feet. This is a block of 320 feet. So it's, in essence, over a block and a half, really. It's not just one block. So this intrusion is not a block long. It's over a block and a half. And from further west along Lane, past the Riva, you can indeed look down Lane Street and see the river and see the Greenway. And if this building is allowed to stick in 3.5 feet, you will see that. Now, again, it's not a dramatic change to the 30 feet or 60 foot total that is required, but it is some. The building design, if you take the approach that, say, you look at the building as a whole, on balance, then really the way the code would want you to consider it is, does the building design as a whole, with this modification, do a better job of meeting all of the applicable design guidelines than it would without this modification? And I guess what I would assert, and what seems pretty clear to everyone who's seen all of the drawings as they've changed over the past several months, is that the building essentially would look exactly the same. You've got this 3.5 foot projection of floors 2 through 6 that either will be there or won't be there. If they're not there, then the shelter that Catherine Schultz felt was a real purpose for this can be provided in other ways. For one thing, 3.5 feet is not a heck of a lot of shelter in this climate. But roofs, little projecting canopies, anything could be built even further than 3.5 feet to provide that shelter for those apartment entrances and for those patios. Really, if you want to give those patios a little bit of a sense of enclosure, it's sort of like the difference between being on a porch where there's a roof protecting you, or being up under the overhang of a big building. You really, it's a much more inviting place to be if it's simply a light porch roof giving you the shelter than if you're cowering up under a 3-foot overhang of a 6-story building. So I think all those guidelines that apply to the building as a whole can still be realized, and this entire design can be realized without allowing this projection. And that was essentially the debate that went on at the Design Commission, as I mentioned earlier, that led to 2 of the 4 regular members agreeing that this overhang should not be allowed, and 2 who felt that it did, and then the chair broke the tie. Again, what started out simple has gotten a little clouded by pictures of all of the good things about this building, and these are not things that we're disputing. In fact, they're things that we're welcoming. We think the design as it evolved is significantly better than it started. We also still feel, though, that the public's right to this full accessway should be protected. Thank you.
So, Jim, I'm trying to unbundle a little bit in my own mind, and I want to talk with staff a bit about this some more. The concern about this perceived defect of the design and the question of precedent, and that is how, in other words, I'm not asking you to reveal this, but how much are people worried about this remaining point of disagreement about this building versus how much are they worried about the erosion of the vision, which some people here testified to. Now, you and I both had a little history on the subject of this vision. Somewhere there's probably a piece of scrap paper from what now is Commissioner Novick's office where Vic Rhodes and I sketched out this street grid and where we started the discussion about connection to the river and where how we wanted this neighborhood to evolve over time. And, you know, you've been a big part of that process as well. So that's why, to some extent, I'm a little bit surprised we're here, in that this is a relatively small disagreement over what appears to be a project that is largely consistent with that vision, and in fact where it could have been a lot bigger. So help me out on that higher altitude view of this situation here. I understand you believe the building has been much improved by the design review process, and I'm relieved to hear that it's working to that extent. But how much are you worried about precedent here versus this building? If you knew that this was not likely to get repeated 10 times, I realize that's predicting a future we can't see, but you see where I'm headed. Some thoughts about that. How much should we be weighing this issue of precedent versus the technical compliance with the code in this case?
Well, you know, at the beginning, I wouldn't have been as concerned about precedent until the applicants in this case started citing other precedents, particularly the Merriweather along Pennoyer Street, where it had been allowed to intrude into the accessway. That's sort of what brought the issue of precedence to have a little more significance. Primarily, the objection of myself and most of the neighbors isn't that. It's primarily the fact that this building already essentially in many ways started out trying to cram too much building onto too small a lot. It had to back off on Gaines Street by 20 feet on the fifth and sixth floors because the Design Commission wouldn't go along with it. There are a number of guidelines about how it should relate to the greenway that most of the neighbors still strongly feel are not met. Compared to all of the other buildings in South Waterfront to the north right now, this building is much closer to that 100-foot setback. That the greenway itself along there has a 100-foot width. Nothing can be built within 100 feet of top of bank. All the other buildings to the north are 20, 30, 40 feet further away from that 100-foot line. This one at some of those corners is like 5 or 6 feet to that line. And it's especially egregious because of the nature of where the greenway is here, there's a big bioswale immediately on the riverside, and all the trails, the bike and pedestrian trails, have swung all the way to the west, almost to the edge of that greenway setback. And then you have this building looming right there next to it. Some of those, that guideline in particular, but also the guidelines about where to have the parking garage entrance, several things still concern many of the neighbors, but we're not here appealing those things. I understand that design guidelines, reasonable people can disagree about whether they're met, and frankly would not take up your time on something that's a matter of interpreting a guideline.
But can I follow up on that for a sec in advance of asking staff some questions? What exactly are you asking us to do? Are you asking us to uphold the appeal, deny the modification, and have the developer fix this one discrete issue? Or do you want us to, are you asking us to uphold the appeal, deny the modification, effectively overturn the design review approval, denying the project?
The former. Simply to deny this modification. I've been led to believe from talking to the architects and the developers that they very quickly could make that change
and proceed with the building. They're already digging the hole. They've assured us that the building footprint's not going to change. Nothing about the building is really going to change except moving back those projecting parts of the building 3.5 feet. Yeah, we're not trying to stop the project or even delay it. It's going to go forward, and we're not asking that it be stopped or delayed and that the Design Commission have to start all over. We're accepting the Design Commission's decision about every aspect of this building except that modification.
If we were to grant that request, you're going to end up with a building that's much more monolithic along Lane Street. You're not going to have that articulation that the facade now will have. And you're more willing to lose that than you are to lose 3.5 feet of airspace.
Because unlike the other sides of the building, unlike particularly the north side and the west side, this building won't be monolithic anyway because it's designed as an open kind of H-shape or U-shaped building with portions of the center set back and with a waterfall coming out and stairs going up and a courtyard. It's even if these two projecting elements move back, that south side of that building will still have a lot of variety. It won't be the kind of slab-sided monolith that the north side started out proposed as or the west side.
Okay, I think good answer. Thank you. Other questions, Commissioner Fish?
Well, I appreciate your answer earlier. I just reflecting on who's best suited to do what role here, because we sometimes are admonished to stay in our lane. And, you know, the Design Commission process is a more robust participatory process than this. You're coming here on an appeal. And we're often cautioned not to get into the weeds. And so really at some point we're talking about, you know, differing visions of an articulated side of a building that's been designed after a full hearing. And some would caution us as a council not to substitute our aesthetic judgment on those points unless there was a compelling reason.
Sorry, Commissioner Fish, this is a de novo appeal, and there are design standards. So even though we're not architects, and some of us aren't lawyers either, we do have to not just interpret the code, but also interpret the guidelines.
I understand, but we may also be told that the code has been followed. So we're being asked to consider.
De novo hearing.
We're being asked to look at code issues and aesthetics issues. I'm fully aware that it's de novo and that we have a code.
I appreciate your point because, frankly, at our board meeting, the applicant's attorney told my board when our board was trying to decide whether to appeal this or not, said, "You're not going to win." The City Council rarely overturns the Design Commission decisions. City Council views the Design Commission as their experts in terms of design, and doesn't substitute your subjective judgment for theirs on issues that involve design and aesthetics. And she was right. The thing that led to us deciding to appeal, though, is that we're not trying to dispute the Design Commission's judgment on matters that involve guidelines and interpretation. That's why our appeal is simply focused on the modification to a very objective standard rather than at a guideline.
And I have to say, I appreciate this. This is a very thoughtful discussion we've had, and we appreciate the chance to talk to you about these things.
Another question? Okay. Jim, I think we may be done cross-examining you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good work. So I think we do need staff back up for some questions.
I just have one question, and then I have a suggested way forward.
Okay.
My question is about the pedestrian easement or the public easement. Is that along the entire 60 feet, or is it just along the pedestrian pathway?
I believe it's along the entire width. However, we have a member of transportation, Kurt Kruger, that perhaps could clarify that for us.
I get the answer to that,
in the
please.
Audience.
Tim Herron, Kurt and I spoke a moment ago, and we believe it would be across the entire 60 feet.
So did the Design Commission discuss these proposed stoops and other projections into that 60 feet, which then kind of privatizes that public right-of-way or public easement?
Well, the standard applies to buildings. It does not apply to at-grade elements. So the specifics of those projecting in was not specifically discussed regarding privatizing it. They were discussed in terms of meeting the better meeting the design guidelines, which is part of, which is one of the two approval criteria. And very specifically, one of the approval criteria that staff and the design commission felt that the design better met was B12, which is to enhance accessway transitions. And that guideline is pretty specific and speaks to those stoops and those other pedestrian elements. It states that programs along the accessways and intersections of accessways and public streets linking the greenway with the interior of the district that activate and expand the public realm, they incorporate private building elements such as entries, patios, balconies, and stoops along accessways to expand the public realm from the building face to building face. Integrate landscape elements within accessway setback areas with accessway transition transportation components to enhance transitions from the waterfront's interior to the greenway. So they are very specifically stated in the design guidelines that staff and commission felt that the design better met. So those elements were very pertinent to that discussion.
Okay. But if there was a day like today and somebody happened to get caught out in a major storm, a pedestrian on the accessway could go and shelter under the 3.5 feet.
Well, those are, so a portion, the residential stoops occur at the eastern half of the accessway. The building 3.5 foot projection expands over a more public area on the western half. There are not private residential stoops below it. It's actually an expansion of the accessway pavers that could accommodate seating for the adjacent retail space. So somebody walking down lane could gain some shelter under the more western half. Under the eastern half, although it's not gated, it's intended to be a bit more private, but there is no physical barrier between the two.
Thank you.
That kind of answers it.
Other questions?
Just curious, you said that you read some language about expanding the public realm, but you then defined it in terms of private space expanding the public realm. How does a private space expand the public realm if it's otherwise inaccessible to the public?
Well, the stoops are rather narrow. I'm not sure exactly how narrow they are, but their depth is not very substantial. But there's, in between the stoops and the pedestrian path, there is a very generous landscape planner that carries the water from the building down to the greenway and into planners. And then there are these boardwalks that transition over it. So that area is not privatized, if you will. It's just the residential stoop that basically resides underneath the projection. The majority of the lane accessway is for the public, both visually and physically.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of examples, not just in this district, but in the Pearl District, of projections over the sidewalk. It may or may not be a fully improved street. In some cases, it's a pedestrian way where we allowed the creation of walkways on the 200-foot grid rather than a fully improved street. And in some of those cases, those walkways are very narrow, and the balconies actually get further and further into the encroachment as you go up the building. So there are a number of ways that this has been done before, and to my eye, as a not an architect, but somebody who's trying to figure these guidelines out, what they mean, I think the question, again, gets back to on balance. Overall, does this create a pedestrian environment and a corridor that meets the purpose and the language of what's in front of us? And I think that's where we have to ultimately try to come down, even though there is a relatively hard and fast standard here with the 60 feet.
By the way, Mayor, it just wouldn't feel like a land use hearing without Kurt here. I just want to acknowledge we have just a standing reservation, regardless of the issue. We just like to have you. Do you have any, at the staff level, do you have any further comments you want to share with us about interpreting the applicable language? Is there anything, because we've asked both sides to tell us how to interpret A and B, is there any further guidance you want to offer us?
Thank you for the opportunity, Commissioner. Couple things just to put a little peace of mind. One, I want to reemphasize the amount of public participation on this process, both from the applicant's part in reaching out to the neighborhood, but also the organized testimony of the neighbors. It's been, we've talked a lot about this modification. One thing I want to be clear on, if the modification weren't allowable, we have language in our code that says prohibited. It is permissive and understood that in this area, along these accessways, you can ask to extend into them. And that review process has additive approval criteria vis-a-vis the modification, and so that was thoroughly discussed. What I'd also like to highlight is We review cases on a case-by-case basis. And the fact that the vote was close relative to still a vote of approval is noted by staff and reminded of any commission in the future when and if the next modification to request this were to come up, that this was a very challenging discussion. It will be scrutinized to this level, and we will acknowledge the fact that this modification was appealed to City Council, regardless of the outcome today. So we do have institutional memory on the Design and Historic Review staff, and we make sure that the Design Commission, even though they evolve every 4 years, reminding them what happened, even if they weren't there before. So for what that is worth for the neighborhood and their efforts and their organization, we don't forget. And we'll carry that concern and certainly the conversation today forward.
Thank you. Other questions? Thank you very much. Mr. Fritz, are you ready to give some guidance here?
Well, I certainly appreciate all of the testimony, and this obviously is many modifications have already been made in this application as a result of the great input from the community. I appreciate Mayor Hales noting that it is a de novo hearing and that the council has the option of denying the application. That's what, and also to be considering more things. Actually, the fact that it was the chair of the commission who cast the vote in favor is very persuasive to me. Guinevere Milius is an amazing citizen who's been on this commission, which dedicates literally hundreds of hours a year to design review, and we certainly appreciate all of our neighborhood volunteers, both you here today and our folks on the commission. So I believe that we should defer to the commission, or that I agree with the commission on this particular issue case, that the resulting development will better meet the applicable design guidelines and that the proposal is still consistent with the purpose of the standard. Because as Tim Herron just pointed out, if we were never allowed to make the accessways less wide, it would be prohibited. Furthermore, we're not making the accessway less wide because, as Commissioner Novick pointed out, from at the pedestrian level, you still have the entire 60 feet, and I think that the projection is going to provide a little bit of shelter for walkers at times. And so that would be my recommendation.
Okay.
Commissioner Fritz, the notion that a closer vote requires a closer scrutiny may apply in practice, but I'm also reminded that the vote for Pioneer Courthouse Square to convert a garage into a park was a 3-2 vote with Mike Lindbergh, the third vote. So it means that democracy is working and that people are, we are sometimes accused of having too many 5-0 votes. And sometimes a divided vote means people have strong views. But in this case, it's just one of many factors. And I would concur with your analysis.
Okay, so I'll take that as a motion, Commissioner Fritz.
I move to deny the appeal and uphold the Design Commission's decision.
I'll second.
To approve with conditions.
Okay, seconded. Any further discussion? So let's take a roll call, and that is a tentative decision, and then we'll, if we make one, figure out a date to set findings. Okay.
I really appreciate the discussion, the high level of clarity which was carried on, and I am relieved to have the opportunity to defer to Guinevere Milius, as I think Commissioner Fritz has suggested, because I share her opinion of Guinevere's astuteness on issues like this. And I appreciate my colleague's spirited discussion. Aye.
Fritz?
I know from having been in the neighborhood position and that it's difficult to get a denial, I mean, to be in the position that you're now in of hearing us say no. Please don't lose sight of the fact that you made multiple modifications in this development, which made it hugely better. I'm also very, very interested in the fact that it's not anything like 250 feet, which it could be, and which I think would be much more detrimental than the current proposal. In fact, I think the current proposal does meet the guidelines, and my park staff are satisfied with the treatment adjacent to the greenway, which is persuasive to me. And so Commissioner Fish meant to be complimentary when asking you if you had a lawyer, because I think, Mr. Gardner, that your presentation was such that it could well have been one of the eminent lawyers in this room, and I appreciate all of your diligence over the years. Aye.
Fish.
Well, I want to first thank BDS staff for the presentation, staff for the way they guide us through these things. We take for granted every week that we get high-level staff support for our work, but it needs to be, it should always be acknowledged, the quality of the work that we get. I want to thank the appellant for doing an excellent job of presenting the neighborhood case, and both sides for walking the council through their particular views. Ultimately, this body gets some right and gets some wrong, but the most important thing is we build a record that anyone who reads it can say it was a fair fight. And Mr. Gardner, you said something earlier that I want to gently push back, because you said that someone had told you below that somehow this is a hopeless task and the council's not going to overturn the decision below. If you had joined us at a number of hearings we've had in the last month, I think you'd be pleasantly surprised with the unpredictable nature of these proceedings. And I think there were some people probably here over the last month that thought this came with the same fatalistic view about this body, and we're surprised, maybe pleasantly surprised, that we overturned decisions and did it on the basis of the record that was made at this hearing. So my colleagues, in my view, in my experience, really work hard to get it right, and in a de novo hearing, they listen to all the evidence, and very rarely do we come in with a fixed mind, and I want to assure you of that. So these proceedings do matter. But as I listen to the evidence, and as I read the code, and as I listen to my colleagues, I am compelled to join this motion and to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I think there's a big difference between the fact that Lane is considered an access way versus Gaines, for instance, which I believe is a greenway protection. So I think the threshold to protect the views was much more intentional around a street like Gaines than it was around Lane. And I think Lane was meant to be more pedestrian-friendly, and I think that the design does not intrude into that pedestrian environment with the 3.5 feet starting at floor 2 and above. And I think it probably doesn't detract from, it probably adds to the environment of this particular area east of River Parkway. So I also join my colleagues in denying the appeal. Aye.
Hales.
Well, I want to support the comments of my colleagues and just add this, and that is I appreciate the quality of reasoning that came to this hearing by both the formal parties and the citizens that testified. These land use hearings keep reminding us about how many people we have in Portland who really understand the depth and detail of what we're trying to accomplish, and I appreciate that. And to me, on this case, the key words really are on balance. I mean, what are we trying to accomplish here? We're trying to accomplish a generous pedestrian realm and a green connection to the river. So does this proposal do that better than it might have or better than it would have otherwise? And it's not but for it could have been 250 feet tall. I understand we're talking about this modification. To me, what matters a lot is that how generous are we at that pedestrian level? You know, we expect base compliance with the design standards. You got to get to at least that. If you want a modification, you got to do even a little better. And as I look at this proposal, the fact that it's actually not just at 60 feet at ground level, but I believe it's at 65 feet at ground level, and it's generously planted and generously green in terms of the bioswales and the rest, the green connection to the river is well done here, and that's what we wanted. Now, I pressed Jim closely about the question of precedent, because I think one of the things that's happening here is this is a neighborhood that now has more people in it. That's good. And they're being more vigilant about making sure that we carry out both the big picture plan and that each building respect it. I think that's still true here, even though I'm going to support the applicant and deny the appeal. But I appreciate your vigilance, and I expect as this neighborhood continues to get built out that we're going to hear from you again, and we will appreciate it because you're keeping a very watchful eye on both the big picture and the details, and that's excellent. So thank you for a very well-made argument. It's a close call, but I do think in this case they have met the big picture requirement that on balance it better meets all of the guidelines. Aye. So we need to set a date for findings.
Yes, and both staff and the applicant's attorney have suggested 2 weeks if we have council present for adoption of findings.
Okay. What, have you got a date there, Sue, that works?
We do. That would be November 5th could come back in the morning at 10:30
a.m. time certain. On the 5th. Does that work? Okay, then we'll set it for that date. Thank you all very much.
Or can we take a quick break?
Take a 5-minute break, and then we'll take up the next item.